then we can help. Go to our website, www.fosterspqualitycars.com.au, or call 963-75024 and get yourself into a vehicle today.
Scotty, we've got to go. Thanks very much for that time now. Good on you, Raymond.
See
you,
Jimmy.
Forward to having you back next week.
Look forward to it, mate.
Time now to join Greg Radley, Ron Duffy, Nick Ashman for Thoroughbred Weekly.
Welcome to Thoroughbred Weekly. After yesterday's Canterbury meeting, 9 races, star of the show Timmy Clark with 5 winners, while down south in Melbourne, some great racing, the end of the carnival, 2 Group 1s, the Emirates and the Darley. The boys were with me at Canterbury yesterday. It was windy, it was warm. We got through it. Tim Clark stole the show there.
He certainly did, and another end to a Flemington Spring Carnival, and a bit for everyone as usual in the Spring Carnival. You had the Shakes and Team Williams, the Tall Poppies had a go, and then you had the Battlers have a go in the Oaks with Lee Curtis, and yesterday in the Daly Sprint, who would have thought, Gallagotis, Bryce Hayes, Matty Dale, trifecta the racer. Some great stories.
Apparently he's come through Tuesday's run in really good order, and he'll definitely be nominated tomorrow for the race, and Lloyd will just assess where he's at later in the week.
All right. Lee Curtis is going to join us on the show to talk about the most remarkable win of the carnival, the Squiddy Spirit winning the Oaks. And we've got some polls.
It wouldn't be a carnival. We wouldn't be able to wrap up a carnival without a poll, would we?
What segment does that come up in the show?
Well, we've got one when Lee's on. Believe it or not, the Squiddy Spirit fared very well in performance of the Spring Carnival.
Right.
And then the last segment, we've got Jockey of the Carnival. So.
Okay. And you did your own personal poll, did you?
Yeah, just mucking around after a few Chardonnays last night.
what was your poll?
The jockey performance of the carnival.
Right. And who?
Abdullah.
Do we have that on?
No.
No, it's the personal one. No. So who got that?
Abdullah by 65%.
Really?
Mm. His poll is just for behind closed doors. Yeah.
We'll be talking about that for years.
Exactly right. And we're going to show it again today. Yeah. Let's go straight to the Emirates Stakes. This is the race that was changed. It was formerly the McKinnon on the first day. They doubled the prize money, put it on the last day. Awesome Rocker was denied an Australian Cup win. Got his own back, winning the Emirates.
Yeah, and a great result. They were so gracious when he lost the Australian Cup. That would have been heartbreaking for the, you know, Corston's team and Stephen Bastard. They copped that on the chin, and what a lovely stalking ride from him yesterday. Just got into a rhythm. He loves dry tracks, this horse. That's the key to him. And just to think that he's 2 Flemington runs. He won an Australian Cup, and he got beat on protest, and yesterday he wins the big one. Good luck to him. Good luck to him. He's an absolute beauty. I thought how Raki was coming to beat him there. But he showed great fight, awesome.
And drew away.
And drew away the last bit, exactly. Seaburge, the 3-year-old, did a good job. He's had a busy schedule.
Mm.
And Vadamos, well, he's just a nutcase. He looks a miler, doesn't he? He just wants to bolt and doesn't. He's a talented horse. And I just think they've been chasing their tail with the United States, like 3 runs in 3 weeks after obviously he had some issue. He'd had a setback. So just proves that you don't need setbacks coming into spring carnivals, but he didn't do a bad job. A
couple of those horses right up the back never seem to get into it, like maybe Clapper and...
Just they go them speed, that speed sometimes, where when you roll into the race and quicken at the right time, it makes it nearly impossible for the back markers, and that was a classic case, that race.
The looking towards... later in the year, later in the season, these 3-year-olds have performed well. We know the sprinters are there. Seaburge has run well. Yep. We had a filly win the Mire. I wonder what that tells us going towards the autumn.
Yeah, look, it's an exciting time. You know, you just think, you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but Star Turn, you know, beat up Malaguira. Yeah. You know, they're pretty good bunch.
It's a good bunch, isn't it?
My word.
And will we see someone challenge Winx come the Cox Plate next year? Because obviously these 3-year-olds will turn 4 next spring.
But they've got to improve. They've got to improve 10 lengths.
You can't see it happening. She's a freak. But I'm just saying, there's nothing in the current weight for age ranks that can compete with her. So,
well, it was awesome. Rock's win in the Emirates, and Stephen Baster, he just pops up, doesn't he?
He pops up,
and a big win for the Corstons family as well. Here is Baster and also Troy Corstons.
Oh, I'm gonna cry. Fantastic, you know, he's been a great horse to me, and obviously losing the Australia Cup was hard, and I've got my little daughter here today at the races, so fantastic to run a Group 1 when it watches here.
Now, Leon and Troy do a terrific job with this horse, and he's just always around the money, so honest.
Yeah, Leon and I have had a few blues over his work, and Leon was right, he was spot on, he had the horse spot on, and the other day at Moonee Valley, I was really concerned about the wet track, and to his credit, he held on well. I know he got a bit fair way behind Winks, but I really expected him to drop out in that race, and he held on really well. So I'd say on the firm track, and I knew he'd run really well.
Now, Vadimos made it a good gallop, and you had a beautiful trail.
Yeah, it's the first time I've been able to ride him forward this time in, and with his headwind, I was a bit concerned, but Vadimos obviously wants to go a bit too hard, and gave us a perfect trail, a perfect cover, and basically the perfect slingshot into the race. So all credit to Leon and the team, and great to ride a winner for all the owners that have been so loyal to me, you know, and he's a bloody good horse.
Yeah, it was an amazing run today, and just a wrap to getting here. I'm very lost for words, which is unlike me.
Does it make it even more sweet considering you lost the Australian Cup on protest? They're not taking this one off you.
Yeah, well, that's you. You wouldn't hope so, but we'll wait for a correct weight before we crow. Never go the early crow, Michael. But it was a perfect ride today. He did an amazing job, Stephen. He did an amazing job. And just have to really thank him. If you sit back and watch the ride, it was just, he sat behind Vadimos in the slipstream, just kept him out of that wind the whole way, peeled and knew what he had underneath him. It was just brilliant.
Okay, looking towards Perth, we'll see a few of these go over.
Yeah, look, Vambra looks like he'll head over that way. He'll join his stable mate, quite likely. McIntosh obviously wasn't in that race.
Yep.
I think Waller's got one other.
Good project.
Good project.
He won it last year.
Yeah, won it last year. So
they'll all be competitive.
Yeah, they'll be very competitive, you think.
Well, Regis
has got to go back to the mile, of course.
And Regis, who won Thursday, he looks like going over as well. Mm. And we'll get to more of the railway stakes with a lead-up in the Listeria yesterday. Mm. So that was the Emirates Stakes. Let's go to the Dali, and this is up the straight. Duff, take it away. It was Malaguera's day, and we're highlighting, of course, the runner-up Spieth and Fell Swoop.
Yeah, well, they really slowed in this race. They looked to the naked eye, and these three horses up, well, four horses on top of the speed were all in the finish. So just adds to Spieth's performance here. But Malaguera, we know he's a terrific horse. He's always been a bit of a hothead, but apparently his attitude's really turned around with maturity now. And he was very brave, I thought, going to the line here. He did get, I think he got fined $1,000, Mellon, for eight times before the 100-metre mark.
Yeah.
So they'll never uphold one of those protests.
No.
That'll never happen.
Well,
so.
Speed's biggest issue there, I think, was because the jockeys were too scared to go to the outside fence.
That was Speed's issue there. Wider. When he hit that speed hump there at a very vital stage in the straight, that was his issue. And to pick himself up, what looked to be a real sprint home. Now, not that I've analysed the sectionals yet, but just to the eye, they were walking those leaders up front. Typical straight racing. It can drive you mad on occasions, but a great performance from the winner, but the talk of the town is Spieth. He's the new kid on the block. He was weight for age for the first time there, against the cream of the crop, should have won. They'll all be asking, can you come to our carnival, whether it be Melbourne, Sydney or Brisbane, where they'll all want a piece of him.
Yeah. He's going to go for a spell, resuming the Lightning, second up in the Newmarket.
Mm. Yeah, the Newmarket, that was always the plan, to get down there to Flemington, test yourself against the better opposition to see if it's worth setting yourself for an autumn sprint carnival. Mm. And the Gelagotis boys, under a bit of pressure to perform with Malaguera, they took over a Group 1 horse.
Mm.
The only way was down.
No, that's right. Exactly right. It's not very hard to get a horse from trainers of the Friedman calibre and keep them going at that level. And look, it's a feather in their cap.
Ben Mellum had a good carnival as well, and the Gelagotis brothers celebrated after the race.
Oh, yeah. Had a lot to do with him. I was very confident coming to this race today. As confident as you can be at a Group 1. And he had the right sort of run. We covered. Come out, let him go through his gears. And he was sensational through the line to me.
He's got such a great record. He's just a real winner, isn't he?
He's a winner. That's what he is, Sammy. He's a winner. I'm going to thank Bruno. He sort of stuck by me, and I've had a good association with the horse, and he's realised that, and he wanted me to continue to ride the horse. So I thank him for that, and I was glad I could repay him with a Group 1 win today.
And Ben, it's been a massive spring carnival for you.
That's right, Sammy. This is what we work all year for, this week and this carnival, and so much more sweeter when you can have a bit of joy.
Yeah, the horse has had a few trainers, and I understand that. And, the horse came to us and I really appreciate the previous work done on the horse, but we had him fresh. This horse had a lot of quirks, and Ben Mallum kept on telling us that, I can't believe this is the horse I used to ride. His attitude today was unbelievable. His application to succeed, the program's gone immensely to plan. You know, credit to the owner, he's just given us the opportunity of a lifetime.
Importantly, about Malaguera, when we saw him, was it Slipper Day?
Yeah, it was Rose Hill, I think, and it was his first trip away, maybe, and it took about three or four blokes to saddle him. He walked in the enclosure fair dinkum. He was a mess.
Yeah.
So obviously that trip away, it's amazing what a trip away can do for a horse.
He was jumping up and down on the spot when they were trying to saddle him. He just wouldn't. But that is a great sign that this horse has turned the corner like that. Yeah. Sad news out of the race. That is the end of our boy Malachi's career.
And what a career it's been. He's bled for the second time. I'm sure he'll have a good home. He was much-loved horse, that fellow. And, all's well with him, but obviously that's the end of his career.
Straight back to Rockhampton, and I'm tipping he'll make a few appearances on Rocky Cup Day and Rocky Newmarket Day.
He'll be stalwart for years, won't he?
Yeah, what a winner.
Yeah, he was a winning machine. And to think he nearly saved the best till last there, that last win, we're coming from last, was so much out of it different from his usual makeup.
Now, a big talking point out of the race was the post-race interview with Bryce Hayes, who got very emotional. Yeah. Apparently, he's tweeted this morning.
Yeah, he just said he felt a bit like a fool, but, I mean, I don't blame him. He was stiff. He should have won the race. He's a young trainer on the rise.
Five horses in work. He's trying to make a go for it.
I've got no issue with it. I think he's entitled to get a bit upset.
Put you on the map, this horse, you know.
Well, he is. He's putting Bryce on the map, and after the race, Racing.com caught up with Bryce, and here's that interview where Bryce is really feeling it after the second placing of Spieth, so close but so far.
Bryce, sir, congratulations on an outstanding run by Spieth, but it must be a feeling of oh so close, the one that got away.
There's no doubting that. I don't know. You know, I just don't get these opportunities, and it's only my second season training. And anyway, so we're proud of him.
You should be proud of yourself too, to get a horse to perform so well at this level, and he's only young. You'll be back here again.
Yeah, just really proud of him, and he's a real high quality colt, and he'll have his day in the sun.
Don't feel like a fool, Bryce.
No.
Don't feel like a fool. It was an emotional moment, and that told you everything.
I can relate to that because earlier in the day I had the similar sort of feeling, but different kind of tears when Happy Hannah went past.
That's right.
Yeah. I was going to say, as a punter, we have it like five times every day.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I'll have it at Warren this afternoon, don't worry.
Yeah. Well, let's have a look at the Winterbottom market now, because this will be the next target for a lot of these horses. Lankan Rupee is going across, Nick.
Yeah, he is. Malaguera as well, and of course Joey Pride announced on Friday that Terra Vista is heading across to the west as well. So that race is already shaping up as a cracking...
Do you reckon all those will go?
Well, look, I don't know if all of them will go there, but those top three have been confirmed as going.
Okay. Yeah.
They've all come out and said they're definitely going.
And a comment from Craig Newitt after that race, he said he just lacks that Group 1 fitness at the moment, Lankan Rupee.
Is that why they're holding him up so much? He's a runner, as far as I remember. Mm. When they let that horse... Well, maybe you might be right. Maybe they're going to let him run in Perth.
Mm.
He'll be ready, won't he?
It'll be a cracking race.
Geez, they were negative on him yesterday.
And Terra Vista was good on Thursday too, behind Redzel. That was a good performance up the straight, over 1,000 metres.
Redzel, the only one coming to the outside. We're going to take a break. When we come back, some more features from Melbourne. Thanks for joining us on Thoroughbred Weekly.
The best computer deals at Harvey Norman. Get two HP Stream laptops for only $398. That's two laptops for just $398. Save over $100 on this Acer Aspire laptop with 8GB RAM. Now just $698. Save over $150 on the Asus VivoBook with Intel Core i5 processor. Just $797. Save over $200 on this Acer Aspire laptop with a massive 16GB RAM. Just $977. The best computer deals on now at Harvey Norman. Go! Derby Racing for the ultimate racing experience, turning your dreams into reality. Now on offer, a filly by champion sire Exceed and Excel. Sire of Group 1 winning fillies Guelph, Overreach and Earthquake. Out of Girls Night, this filly is directly related to Reduce Choice, Alma Her, Hurricane Sky and He's No Pie Eater, and will hold enormous residual value after racing. To be trained by Gay Waterhouse, this precocious filly looks a real golden slipper prospect. For more information, visit derbyracing.com.au. Derby Racing for the ultimate racing experience.
Some international raiders descend on Oz to pinch spring carnival riches, and the rest go to the USA for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Brilliant Aquanella Found and Highland Reel fly the flag for Ireland among a stellar overseas contingent. But the locals are making headlines with superstar California Chrome, sparking shivers of anticipation. Live from Santa Anita, the 2016 Breeders' Cup on Sky Racing 1.
Welcome back. Let's have a look at the Matriarch Stakes now. 2,000 metres, Group 2 for the mares. And it was Jessie Bell's day. And happy Hannah. Duff, just get a tissue for Duff.
Yeah.
We go through this race one more time. Two tissues, one for Nick as well.
Make it a box. Anyway, the most surprising thing about this race to me is how did Jessie Bell run 2,000 metres?
Mm.
But they've just walked through the first 1,000 of this race, and I reckon it just turned into a sprinter's race.
Mm.
And she got the nice split where Happy Henna got behind that thing of Robbie Lang's and just didn't get a card anywhere. And she's the more stayer. She would have won if she went forward here, Happy Hannah. I know it's not the right way to ride her, but look at the finish from her. Mm. Saw it after the damage was done at the start. She looked the leader, and they all went looking for her, but she missed the start. Actually, Baster rode her very well after that went pear-shaped at the start. He took his time and just edged up there. What else could he do? The worst thing you can do when a horse misses the start is just drive them nuts. So, no, maybe she should have had an excuse there. If she jumps cleanly, she dictates that race and proves hard to beat, but the story of the race has to be Happy Hannah. Like, just nothing unfolded with her as far as the tempo is concerned, getting a card into the race at the right time. Look, they're together here, her and Jessie Bell. Jessie Bell just gets a split through, and Cinnamon Carter, it might have been, just drops back into Happy Hannah's face. I think if we had that helicopter shot, it would be more evident. It looked terrible. And we can safely say that her run was the best there, Happy Hannah. But good luck to the winner. She's Johnny on the spot. A backup from Tuesday where sought after was too good for her. But like I say, the most surprising thing is that she ran 2,000 metres. I think most people had a suspect at even a mile coming into this race.
Zambar Duff?
She may have just left it all there on Saturday. She ran such a bottler in the mire.
I think she's a bit better just a little bit on the fresh side.
She likes it wet as well. Track doesn't help.
Let's hear from winning jock Craig Williams, who picked up the ride for the Hayes and Dabbening team.
She made up a lot of ground at the end of that.
She certainly did, Sam. The instructions were pretty simple. We had to ride her to get the trip. First time at it, she gave me a beautiful ride. A lot of horses were very keen throughout the run, just the way the Mother Nature's reared her ugly head, and she responded really well. And I think it's now my third win on. She's been a really good mare to me, and it's good to see Ben Crowe. He was working with us jockeys for future media stuff to really put more out there for the public, and his company Unscripted. So it's great to see him now in the winner's circle.
Well, she'd actually been racing well. It was her first time ever at the distance, and after she ran during the week, I'd spoken to the owner Jeff after Cup Day, and he mentioned, "Can we make sure that we back her up on a Saturday?" She pulled out really well, and we decided, and today we just were very mindful to ride her very cold to try and get the trip, and I think she really appreciated it. We started her in blinkers, then we went to winkers, and today we ended up with no gear on. William Buick was down to ride her, and he couldn't ride the weight, and it was a pickup ride for Craig Williams, so he's had a running double, so he's on fire, and I'm really thrilled for all the connections, especially Jeff. He's always had the real faith in the mare, and she's done a great job here.
Okay, we go back to the opening race on the card, and this is for the two-year-olds. We've seen some good ones in Melbourne so far, Duff.
I think the Melbourne two-year-olds, I know it's their carnival, so you expect them to have the edge, but I think they're standing head and shoulders above what we've seen here in Sydney, to tell you the truth.
The MF over the SF.
Yeah, so far. Oh, yeah. They look a strong bunch of two-year-olds. Tony McAvoy has produced a couple, and here's another one here.
Aspect.
He's back in the field. He looks to have a big, bold stride on him. He looks strong. It's always easy to get carried away with straight track form, but this had a touch of arrogance about this win. When he lengthens, he looks a good colt. And that's not bagging his stablemate, who Azazel on the inside there. I just thought he was stranded in no man's land there, not knowing what to do, and he might be a horse better at 1,200 as well. So the two McAvoy horses... He can pick a good two yearly,
yes.
Tony McAvoy, I tell you. And he's got a couple of beauties here as well. Wait for No One was good after over racing on top of the speed there. Can't say much about Chow Chow. Charged home there around Mick Price's horse. So, I think it's all about the winner, and I'm prepared to give Azazel another chance. He just seemed to get lost down the straight, considering his first up run win down the round of Ben was a beauty.
So. Heavily backed Resin was pretty disappointing.
Very disappointing. Mm. That's the horse that trialled at Wyong and then jumped up well down the straight. So the LSF was a bit ordinary there.
Yeah.
All right, well, nephew Kerrin riding for Uncle Tony. Here they are.
He's like this fella. So the team's done a good job of him. He performed well in a jump out down the straight. Gave me a nice feel. He's gave me a much better feel today under race conditions.
Good style of horse, and as you say, probably as he gets down the track, he's going to just keep improving.
Yeah, exactly. He's not just a speed horse, so he might get out over a bit further, but he's got a lovely way about him, nice, carries himself well, got a nice drag up behind him, peeled out from the back of Hayes and singing. He's picked up really well. He's done it quite cosily the last 100 yards, so... There's more to come from him, Sammy.
He raced like a professional horse today, and when he got to the front, went straight as a gun barrel. But look, he's a very good quality colt, and he really impressed me. His length of stride in the finish was fantastic.
Were you surprised that he was able to put that kind of finish at the end of his race?
Yeah, he did. He really impressed me. That's his career best for me, and I've been watching him since we broke him in. So it's really nice when you come to the races and they can put up their best. And Azazel did it the other day at Mooney Valley, and this fellow, it was his turn to do it today.
Okay, we'll go to a break. When we come back, Queen Elizabeth Stakes will be the next race, and Oaks winning trainer Lee Curtis is going to join us. Stay with us on Thoroughbred Weekly.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming, which is simulcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the program tab.
Introducing the new Xbox One S. The only console with 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray, 4K video streaming, and high dynamic range gaming. The new Xbox One S. Smaller, sleeker, sharper. The ultimate games and 4K entertainment system. Now starting at $399.
Every line and every curve. Every sound and every stitch. Luxury down to the last millimetre. Each detail is a symbol of our passion, drive, and dedication to make every Audi greater than the sum of its parts. This is Audi.
Next stop on the Country Showcase series is Gundagai. It's Cup Day, and our team at Trackside covering all the action. Extended coverage on Sky Thoroughbred Central this Friday.
Well, he didn't win the Melbourne Cup, Charlie Appleby, but he's won just about every other staying test. Geelong Cup, Bendigo Cup, Lexus, and now the Queen Elizabeth. With this horse, Francis of Assisi, who makes the Bendigo Cup Queen Elizabeth double.
One act affair, not much to talk about. He's, I thought he'd won an ordinary Bendigo Cup. But look at this, 10 lengths. He used Tom Melbourne as a bunny, as, you know, maybe Awesome Rock did either, get into that slipstream of a tearaway leader and sprinted off that. You don't see this happen too often. We're talking, group racing here, and to win by 10 lengths. And he's sprinting, isn't he? He's really darting away. Interesting horse. He's a 7-year-old. You'd say, if he was a 4-year-old, he'd be saying, there's him, next year's Melbourne Cup winner. Is there upside to him? He's obviously relishes dry tracks. So he's the right profile for this country.
The European
country.
Stuff, they race until they're 8 and 9 pretty
much. Of course.
Well,
Look, what's he had? He's had a handful of starts.
He might come back next year.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
If Bossy had rode him, he would have declared him next year's Melbourne Cup winner.
Of course.
Off the back of Pewson Stallone, he would have done it. He would have done it with this horse. He would have had no trouble declaring it for next year.
Well, look what he's done to the, horses that have run well in a Caulfield Cup there. And Vengamask, and who travel well in the run, and Tom Melbourne, who just doesn't run out that last two. He's too aggressive, but he goes well at Flemington.
All right, William Buick and Charlie Appleby after the race.
He obviously won very easy. I kept him up to his work because obviously it was quite a strong headwind in the straight. But look, he quickened the whole way. He stays very well. He's got a lot of class.
William, hit, run, visit. You're back home tonight.
Back home tonight. Who knows? Might be back again.
This horse is came down here. He was leading all the work down here. We always had it planned to run out here, but he led all of the main work before. He's running the Bendigo. Led Scottish, led QE, led Oceanographer. So going into the Bendigo, we felt he was a horse that was going to have a live shot. And he ran better or galloped out better than what we expected. But he's one horse. Young James Ferguson's been down here looking after him, and I'll give him credit. He's been riding him. But I have to say, the horses have all done well from their run. They've all backed up well. But this horse, you could just see mentally, he just was thriving because, when you're doing the sort of work he does at home and having those decent horses looming outside you every morning, once he had got his own head in front and won his own race there in the Bendigo, he thought he was King Kong. So he's gone and shown that today.
So he was the track work pony for all the others.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Hey? He's up and he loves the straight. They should leave him here and win a Sydney Cup or something in the autumn.
Johnny O'Shea'd take over the training, wouldn't he?
I'm sure he'd put his hand up.
Yeah. He'd have Hartnell and Francis of Assisi, Haraki. Yeah. He'd have a good team ready for the next autumn.
He'll leave Scottish here too.
Scottish as well. he must be some trainer, this Charlie Appleby.
He's a gun. He is a gun, isn't he? He's one of them blokes, when he starts talking, you listen.
Yeah. Mm.
And there's only a few that fit that category.
More blue. More blue coming up here. Hilton Stakes, listed level, 1400. And it was Suchet, Ronnie.
Well, the Swoopers really come into play here, didn't they? They were well back in the field, these horses. Suchet, Man from Uncle, and indeed Inside Word, who drew barrier one and tried to get off the fence here. But this is the horse that got very sick. He had form around Sacred Elixir in Queensland, but he got very sick and they had to cart him off to the vet hospital after the sires or something. So he's been nursed back to health here. He had that form around Spieth, who'd won, not Spieth, the Gary Fraser's filly, Sprite, who'd won on Oaks Day. And he landed good bets. He's probably over the odds here. $20 into $10 he was. He's not a bad horse, that horse of Anthony Cummings's. He's only lightly raced, Man from Uncle. They simply domino that race. But good effort, 60 kilos, second up off a break after an illness. He's obviously, he's always promised something, but he's back in business, Suchet.
Man from Uncle, doing well, like you said, in his first prep and that.
Lightly raced horse. He looks
good to
right.
See him next time in, too.
For sure.
All right, let's hear from James McDonald and John O'Shea after the Hilton Stakes at listed level.
We took him back from the gate. I thought 19 would have been a tough task to roll forward there, and he travelled up beautifully, hit down really well, and he looked probably going to be a little bit unlucky that the gaps presented themselves, and he burst through. He did a good job.
It can be a tricky start, the 1400, and obviously when you draw the outside, but if anything, you can often get a bit of tempo in from that start.
Yeah, absolutely, Sam, especially with 20 runners as well. So he travelled beautifully. It was a bit messy earlier on, as that 1400 metre start can do, but we navigated a path through and he did the rest well.
Yeah, we nearly lost him in Brisbane during the winter, and the team, great effort to get him back. Dave, Paul Reed at Osborne, and then of course David Charles and his team here at Carbine. It's been a wonderful team effort, and James capped it off with a brilliant ride.
So what happened in Queensland?
Mate, to be fair, I wasn't there. It was on Stradbroke Day. He got very ill at the races, and he spent about a fortnight in hospital, and some great veterinary work, and they saved him, and it was sort of like a colic post-race, and look, he's got back here, and everyone who's contributed to his welfare, we thank him greatly, and as you see the results today.
All right, we'll get to the Godolphin treble at Canterbury yesterday as well. That's coming up later in the show. We'll take a break. When we come back, Lee Curtis is going to join us after the Big Oaks win of Lasketti Spirit.
New Zealand Bloodstock's Ready to Run sale is in a league of its own, celebrating double the number of stakes wins of any comparable sale in the past four seasons, including 16 Group 1 wins in that time, where others have had none. With over 500 well-trained two-year-olds on offer, boost your stable at Karaka in November. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
We're here for the life-changing goals, the lifelong goals, goals. So wherever you're at and whatever your goal, AMP is here to help you explore, plan, track, and most importantly, realize your goals so you can own a better tomorrow.
Coming up this week on Bred to Win, we exclusively announce the first finalists for the 2016 Godolphin Stud and Stable Staff Awards. Plus, we return to historic Cornerstone Stud in South Australia, meet their new stud manager and check in on more of their young stallions. That's Bred to Win this Thursday night, Sky Thoroughbred Central.
Pete, you're counting well. Welcome back. Look, it was the most remarkable performance of the entire carnival.
Of course.
A given?
Yes, it's a given. It will go around the world, the vision of this race.
It will. The bolter, the absolute bolter in the Oaks. Lasketti Spirit leads all the way. A daring ride from Brenton Abdullah and Lee Curtis, trainer, who's still up on cloud nine, is here on the couch.
Yeah, I am great.
Sounds like he's leaving the clouds and
that. Yeah. For those who have never heard Lee Curtis speak before, that's not his real voice. How's it been?
So it was obviously a big night. Frank Cook was kind enough to shout us all out, all the connections, and we went to a restaurant in the city there, and he may as well just take us to a champagne bar, because that's all that was consumed. So,
it was 4 days ago.
Yeah.
You're still...
No, and then, we had the early flight out next morning, and that was a disaster in itself. It's like you get to the airport and realise your rental car's still back at the hotel. Of course, a few dramas on its own, So, anyway, we got back.
I see you've just come straight from church. You pinched the wine mug off the...
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, Frank Cook's got one about three times bigger than that. And it was for the champagne drunk out of it.
I want to talk about... There was a tweet you sent out after the Fernhill when she ran third, and you said that she's looking for a staying trip and the Oaks would be the target.
Yeah, well, occasionally you get it right, I guess, but... Yeah, well, no, she's... Ever since we've had her, she comes across as really impressive. She's classy until you get to, galloping her, and she hasn't got any turn of foot whatsoever. But in every other aspect with her, she's just all class, honestly. Mm.
Did they actually buy her to win the Magic Millions or the Oaks?
Oh, well, that's folklore, I guess. But, no, you're buying a horse for a good horse, We liked a pedigree. Frank liked a pedigree. She didn't essentially look like a sprinter. She's not a gross sort of filly. She's very tall. She's got a lot of leg. And, I said to him I liked her, but I didn't like it specifically for anything, just to, you know, have a nice horse in my stable.
Before we show the vision, tell us about the conversation you had with Abdullah in the mounting yard before the race.
Oh, well, we had a, you know, a good advisor to him is Nathan Snow, and they talk a lot about, you know, strategy in races, and his basic plan was to, Brenton, you know, go to the front, and if you think you're going too fast, go quicker. So, you know, and then, yeah, Frank Crook had the same idea. I had the same idea. Everyone sort of, we know that in most of her races, she, after the post, you go a furlong and she's 10 lengths in front. Mm. So we can just spend as much fuel as we like because she just doesn't know how to get tired. Mm. And that was the plan, you know, just go and run them off their legs.
Well, the key to her was that she'd had a mile and a half run under her belt. Mm. That was the key, wasn't it, for that?
Oh, absolutely. And it was a tough run. She got caught out there and, you know, and it was, you know, it was a run. I was either going to flatten her and put her out or, you know, bring her on. I mean, she got to Melbourne on Monday morning and I was down with her. She just thrived all week. By Wednesday, she was just dragging me around that track there at Flemington.
Where did you actually think you had the race won?
Oh, well, actually, 100% with about a furlong and a half. Yeah. But, you know, even around the back where, you know, he's got to stick out and he's going for, you know, before the corner, but... Yeah. I thought, she's not going to stop. She does not stop. She just backs away.
Mm. It's incredible that she could keep running away from them.
Mm. Is this...
It's not just the way she's running away from them. It's just the whole profile, the whole situation, the price, the manner in which she done it, the parade at the finish there from the jockey, Abdullah. It's just a magic moment in sport, not in, just in racing, in sport in general, I say.
How did she pull up, Lee?
Obviously, she's great. Yeah. She's great. She's gone back to Linda Duckworth's place at... where is it? What's it called? Linda's place.
Fairview Park. Yeah.
Linda's place, that'll do.
I couldn't remember the name of my kids in a speech the other day.
Don't feel bad, Linda.
Bryce Hayes getting embarrassed.
Well, is this how we'll see her ridden come grand final day in the autumn?
No, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't know if they'll let us get away with it, but... you know, if a trainer's got a couple of runners in there, well, you know, one might be up outside us.
Does it matter?
There's another way of looking at it. What other filly is game enough to her on at her own game now that she's got a game?
Mm. Yeah, exactly. She's got a game now, and you know, you learn about these horses as you go along. We certainly know a lot about her now, and as I said, she's pulled up great, and she'll have 6 weeks off. She'll come back just before Christmas, and I haven't even thought of what races we'll run in, but we won't be going any. You know, a mile, probably minimum. That'll be the first start. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Show Abdullah again the close up of him bowing, because this is going to be replayed over and over again. I reckon it takes a bit of skill to do this, doesn't it?
Outstanding.
He is just what going through his mind here. I have dead set pulled your pants down. I deserve to take a bow. I'll take two.
Well. It couldn't have been pre-organised. It's just something that's hit him straight away.
He is quick-witted, Brenton.
He's great theatre.
And I think the Stewart's finding him is all part of the theatre as well.
Of course.
Well, you know before you go up, you're going to cop a fine, but in big races you can afford to do it. And $1,000 was pretty light for something like that.
Mm. Well, how can you identify between a good one and a bad one? You know, if it's $1,000, you might as well have a good one.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Have we got Brenton after the Oaks? Let's hear from this winning jockey who produced a beauty in the Oaks.
It's a special fair. Look, I haven't been here the first 2 days, and we got the call up and the manager said have a look at this filly run the other day, and I thought she ran super even though it was a maiden. She was actually just one pace all day, so full credit goes to my manager Mark Mantreaton. I do a lot of work with him, a guy at home who's pretty special to me, and he's improved my riding a lot, Nathan Snow, and he thought, look, the only way you could beat him is if we thought realistically you'd run well without winning, and he said if you just make a through tame Cess, she'll run okay, and that's what we've done. Full credit to them, and obviously to ride a Group 1 for Lee, it's special. I was surprised how well I actually got there. So the Dino had a good, was rolling on a good clip here, but I said if I can just go on with it and get her flowing,
that'll be my best chance. And she got into a lovely rhythm. I cranked up again at the 1,000. I was at my top at the 700. I had a sneak peek at one of the TVs there at the 300. I was still four in front. And I said, well, she's going to stop. And I heard Greg Miles yell out, but the Squirty Spirit's still five in front. And gee, the emotions just started running through me. But special being a Melbourne boy and being here.
Right, back home to Melbourne, and he deserved that Group 1. Tell us, now, Frank Cook, well-known, his colours there, well-known owner of a lot of horses, whether they be big shares or small shares. Tell us about the Frank Cook story with her.
Well, he, look, I buy a lot of colts, and, you know, I'll say to Frank all the time, will you take a quarter for your colours? And he's got a fair few in there now. I just keep buying them, and he keeps going in them. And he just said, oh, you know, with the fillies, it's a different story. He said, look, I'll buy it. I lease it. Mm. I lease half to your connections. And, you know, and it's, he's very proud of the fact that people can get in without a lot of capital, mm. without any capital, basically. I mean, I've got a guy in there, you know, a couple of guys that probably don't want to spend capital, but they're happy to pay training fees. Mm. So, you know, one guy, Mick Fanning's a very good friend of mine. He's only got 5%. He lost his brother a month ago. You know, it's just a beautiful story. You know?
Great story.
And just explain, now, there'd be a lot of people out there who wouldn't understand how the lease works. So Frank owns the horse, and he leases half of the horse. So the owners, the battlers that you've got in this horse, haven't had to put up the money to race this horse. They pay training fees.
They pay full training fees, and they pay a lease fee around 25 to 30% of the prize money.
Yeah, back to the original owners. But it is, a lot of people do it, Duff.
Yeah, look, I do it.
You've leased horses.
Yeah, I've leased horses.
It saves money for them.
Yeah, great for syndicates and bringing new people in.
Yeah.
You know, I love to lease a horse out now and again.
And a bloke like Frank Cook, as you said, would get more joy out of seeing someone who can't afford a horse have a big win like that.
And he does it regularly too. Yeah. I mean, I can quote Faraway Town, I think, is the same. And I'm sure there's others, but, you know, I know he's very proud of it.
Yeah.
Personally, you had some big moments with Mystigic in your day. He was a Galaxy winner. He did a terrific job over in Melbourne. Is that the best moment on Oaks Day for you?
That's the best. I think, because I'm a bit older now, you appreciate it. Oh, I thought, you know, a lot of people say, I think I heard Gary McAvoy say it the other day, when you do it first time, you think it's going to happen all the time.
Exactly.
And then you go a few years and it doesn't, and you really savour it. And so, you know, it's more special, if you like, than Mystigic, who was great. I mean, he won, you know, he was the best sprinter. He beat Lonro as a horse of the year, so in 1 year. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, you move on, and it's great to have this filly now.
Yeah, and press reports, she just couldn't win that big one, could she?
No, she's very, very close. She's a great filly, probably a little bit inconsistent here and there, but yeah, you know, the owners didn't pay much for her, like only 10,000, and she won 400, and she just got sold for about 300. So Chris Lees has got her now. So
right,
you know, good luck. I was talking to Chris the other day. You know, I gave him a few pointers for what it was worth, and I wish him all the best with it.
Okay, how many are you working?
We've got 11 now. I've got 12 boxes, and I just went down a bit. I've just brought horses in this week just to get through the Oaks and that, and then I'll be full by the end of this week, back to 12.
All right. And is that all you want? Do you want to get any bigger, or is 12 enough?
I don't know what the optimum number is. I suppose I'd like to go to about 16.
That'll it depends be... on quality these days. I suppose if you've got quality, you can take a lot more.
I mean, look, you can do a lot with 12 boxes if you're serious, you know what I mean? But ideally, I'd like to go up to about 30 on the books and have about 15, 16 in work. Where you've got two riders, if one of your riders doesn't turn up, you're not under pressure.
Mm.
That sort of thing. I think 16 is a good number.
Because the bigger you go, the more staff, the bigger your wages.
It gets a bit tougher, doesn't it? It's a lot of work, a lot of stress, and, you know, I'd take my hat off to the guys like, you know, Chris and that, with their big teams, because, you know, they work so hard and a lot of stress.
Mm. Now, where's your poll?
Yeah, we'll get the poll up there. This is the performance of the carnival from a horse. You'll have a look at this one, Lee. So, you see here, which was the best performance of the spring carnival? Winx, Cox Plate, 69%. I think we all expected Winx to get it. The surprise packet, though, I put the Squirty Spirit in there, 21%. Knocked off Al Mandan's Melbourne Cup win and Jamaica in the Caulfield Cup. There you go.
What do you think of that?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
People love the story.
They love
the ride.
It was a huge performance.
And you can be hard nosed. I didn't back it. It's a bowler that's knocked me out, but you can appreciate the story for what it is.
And Greg Miles picked that early. You could sense at the 1,000 metres in the call that something's on here. This is knocking. These things at the back are in big trouble.
Yeah.
And he read the play of that race. I thought it was a great call as well. Made to the theatre of the race.
Well, let's get ahead of ourselves. Let's get way ahead of ourselves here. You're going to have a crack at the Oaks in Sydney, of course.
That's right.
And then why not dream of being back there in 12 months' time trying to lead all the way in a Melbourne Cup?
Absolutely.
No, you're beauty. A bit of speed we can work with.
Yeah. The pace will be on.
Just
going to hope that
those little fragile fillies in the Oaks in the autumn, they'll be shaking in their boots.
What about if we get Aiden back out here with Septimus? And
yeah. No. Yeah. No, there'll be overseas horses that'll be up on the speed. Yeah. There could be Japanese horses back here again.
Game on.
Big Melbourne Cup next year.
It won't be easy.
No. No, it won't. Now, Soothers, Alan's Eddie Cole, Butter Menthol.
You want to plug anything else?
Butter Menthol, Lemon Tea. Yeah.
When did this kick in?
The other, more champagne, more beer.
Just go the other way.
It's actually during the day. I was really sore during the day on Thursday, so I've sort of had it for a few days, yeah. Yeah. You know, it probably wasn't the best advice to go out and drink 47 bottles of champagne.
But if you're going to do it after a day like that.
You know, what did you actually do with that hire car? Did someone pick it up?
We got close to the airport and we organised it. Oh, shit.
That's a big night, isn't it?
Oh, that's a
big night. He remembered the trophy forgot the car.
Probably lucky he didn't drive the car, actually.
Yes, that's right.
Good idea staying there. Thanks for coming in.
No pleasure.
Congratulations,
well
guys. Lee Curtis, we're going to take a break. Back with more in a moment.
Well done, mate. Thanks, too.
But with loads of tech.
Toyota Corolla. Its 6-speaker touchscreen audio sounds like your...
Here! And the punchy BBTI engine can take you...
Here.
During Toyotathon, get Corolla Ascent Sport from $23,990. Drive away with bonus 4 years roadside assist.
Oh, thought I'd lost you. It happens sometimes.
Search Toyota Value.
Oh, what a feeling. Toyota.
He's interviewed the biggest names in the Australian racing industry. Tuesday, join Ray Thomas for the best of one-on-one from champion jockeys.
It was amazing how everything sort of snowballed.
All this was happening to you at a very, very,
very, very young age.
To champion trainers.
Well, I want to be successful.
You have to really pour your life into it.
And key industry leaders.
I started back in 1970.
I'm very passionate about what I'm doing.
The best of one-on-one with Ray Thomas, 7:30 Tuesday.
Okay, let's head over to the west now. In a couple of weeks' time, the WA Summer Carnival is underway. 3 weekends of racing, the Railway, followed by the Winterbottom and the Kingston Town on 3 separate weekends. A lead up to the Railway yesterday was the Lestier Stakes, over 1,400 metres. Now, Perfect Reflection back in on the inside, Disposition and Tradesman highlighted, and just in front of Disposition in those black and white colours is Kawi, a 5-time Group 1 winner from New Zealand. But Perfect Reflection is back, and she runs over the top of them.
Yeah, great rider, Pike, isn't he? Just last look at him, she is back, she's second up here. You'd think there's going to be more improvement. Looking at the race, the Boom Kiwi Kawi just seemed to race a little aggressively early in that race and had to chase Pawn O'Shea and was left wanting at the finish there. I wouldn't be sacking that horse on one run there, maybe, you know, they've gone over there, it's been a bit of a settle-in stage, so I'm suggesting if it settles better next time, there might be improvement. But she's a beauty, isn't she?
In the early part of the race, it looked like there was, you know, the lead was definitely up for grabs, and then Pornichet took the bit and went far too keenly. He led by three or four lengths and right up on the bit. So when Perfect Reflection went back, in the first 100 metres of the race, where's the pace? How quick are they going to go? But then
he just went.
The pace went on,
he's
and
done that
she was suited.
Too, hasn't he?
Mm. Yeah, he's got a bee in his bonnet at the moment, Pornichet.
Winning trainer Grant Puffer Williams. Here he is.
It's a really good effort today. I thought her run, her first up run, you know, we all didn't want to sort of say it, but we were a bit disappointed on after what she was doing at trials. And, for her to come out and do that today, we're wrapped.
From what you're seeing at home, is there much between her and Disposition?
Oh, they're different horses. He flies in the sand. She works strong. But, you know, there's probably not too much between them here, I wouldn't have thought.
Okay, Grant trains in partnership with Alanery's wife and Perfect Reflection, who this time last year won the Kingston Town Stakes after winning the champion fillies, had a couple of runs in the autumn, but back with a third in the Northerly and then that win there. And now is outright favourite for the Railway Stakes at $7 in front of Bart, Disposition, Le Romaine, Le Romaine won't be there, Cowie. McCreary, was it? It wasn't one of the Waller horses?
Well, I haven't had any indicators yet that he's heading that way.
Yeah, he might be going.
Yeah. Because he'd be a good horse for that, wouldn't he?
You'd think so, yeah.
What's that?
That was the Kingston Town.
Oh, that was the Kingston Town before, was it? I'm sorry. Okay. So the Kingston Town was $7. This is the Railway. Perfect Reflection. Okay. McCreary could be a chance for the Kingston Town.
I reckon he would be.
Yeah.
I really do, yeah.
Okay, so that was the Kingston Town. I'm focused now. Perfect Reflection, $5.50 in the Railway. McIntosh going, Disposition. Regis will be there. This horse, Chocolate Holic, won the Northern Cup. He's got something about him.
Yeah,
don't know whether he's Railway Stakes quality, but he could be.
You mentioned that on Thursday night on a form. I went back and had a look at the replay.
Yeah. Good win, wasn't it?
Yeah, very good win. Very good win.
It's well found by the market.
And those locals, sometimes we get carried away with our horses, but those locals, they always bob up.
It's hard to go to Perth. It's hard. Let's go to the Ferretha Stakes, which is a lead up to the WA Guineas. And Sol Special, when we picked them up, it's given a beautiful ride, and everything fell into place for this favourite, who was ridden by Brad Parnham, trained by Dan Morton, and very strong at the end.
Yeah, he looks a nice horse, doesn't he? 3 year old. He'd been placed a few times coming into this. So, like you said, a lovely ride and finishes hard. So, I don't know, is there a standout 3 year old over there this year?
Might be him.
He's going to set up well too for the Guineas because he's gone 1,200 metre runs, and then in 2 weeks he'll tackle a mile at the Guineas. So he's going to present nicely in the form guide.
Yeah, well, the Guineas is on Railway Day, so a good start at the Carnival over there, and most certainly the locals will be to the fore. I don't know of any eastern state horses that are going over there.
No.
Not just yet anyway. So Sol Special is equal favourite. Whispering Brook, would she go back for a crack? She's had a big carnival.
She'll go back there, won't she? But whether or not she has a crack.
Hey, Doc, I don't know if he'd go over.
He'd be an interesting runner if he went.
He'd be snapping up the eight if he did.
Yeah. If you knew he was going, he would be the P. Okay, here's Dashing Dan Morton after the win of Sol Special.
But, you know, I couldn't have been happier with him going in. You know, it's easy in hindsight now, you come out and it all works. But a bit of a high-pressure race this time of year leading into a Guinea, so you needed all to go well, and it did.
Let's talk about Sol Special first, then. We mentioned the run, the Bunbury Classic, was one of the only horses that raced on speed to be able to stay on. Then last start, forced to go back. He showed a brilliant turn of foot behind Kuiperinha. Today, everything just mapped out perfectly, drawn really well. Some nice speed in the race, and you're able to work into it with that turn of foot.
Yeah, the gate was important, and he did get a really nice card in the run. So, it's off to Brad. Nice ride.
From that last sort of 100, 150 metres as well, it looks as though the 1600's only going to suit this guy more.
Yeah, like I said before, you know, he's tracking up really good. You know, he needed to do that today to frank himself for the Guineas, but, you know, he's going to be right in the ball game.
I expected he probably would win. But, you know, the main goal was just to see him run it out strong enough and say we could go to the Guineas and be a big shot. And he's come here and he's done everything I thought he would do, and I'm excited going towards the Guineas with him.
Okay, champion fillies next week, and then we roll into the Group 1s, the Railway, in a fortnight. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will have a look at Tim Clark's big day out at Canterbury with a 5-win haul.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming, which is simulcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the program tab.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love this. We've got jackpots and specials coming your way every week. Check out tab.com.au to see what's on offer and place a bet you'll never forget. Tab, we love a bet.
Coming up this week on Bred to Win, we exclusively announce the first finalists for the 2016 Godolphin Stud and Stable Staff Awards. Plus, we return to historic Cornerstone Stud in South Australia, meet their new stud manager and check in on more of their young stallions. That's Bred to Win this Thursday night, Sky Thoroughbred Central.
Metallic Crown just keeps on kicking.
It pays to follow our market movers.
Just a bigger dash. Oh, this has been smashed on track. It's going to win by three.
And Tony Brassel is in extraordinary form with his best bets.
Littero finishes best.
Scoring 9 of the past 12.
Catch where he's picking up on the inside.
That's a 75% winning strike rate.
Global Glamour gives Gay 1,000 guineas.
Finding winner after winner on Sky Racing.
Welcome back. Time to have a look at Canterbury now. It was a warm day. That breeze certainly cooled things down. And what a breeze it was at Canterbury today. What effect do you think it had on racing yesterday?
Well, they went hard in a few races and the leaders stuck on. So I would have thought it would have been an advantage being on speed, on pace. But at just the stage when the wind comes up now, everyone's an authority on it. You get different opinions left, right and centre. And the wind can swirl. And let's just... I'd rather just... let the form unfold throughout the day and have it. If they're up from the front, give them a little tick for the on-pace runners. But some of the theories go around when the wind comes up, it'll send you around the twist.
There was a strong tailwind up the straight, though. We can't deny that.
Oh, no, I'm afraid it was. But how did it affect, racing?
Yeah. Oh, well, I think it lends itself to helping the front runners. Mm. A rock-hard track with a big tailwind, it's, you know, they're coming home in...
Yeah, but still, tailwind, you know, you're going down the back straight at Canterbury, then you're running into the headwind. Yeah. So,
well, Reincarnate, with the greatest respect to Reincarnate, he's now track record holder at Canterbury.
Yeah,
I think you said it well, and with respect to whoever. Look, you've got to give him credit, although
definitely.
It was a flattered track record. Mm-hmm. He did have 60 kilos. He didn't get the favours that he got last time, although he had a nice run. Mm. They didn't hand it to him up front, so he earned it to a certain extent.
All right, well, let's go back and start with the first. Tab Plate 1100. Two-year-olds in action here. First starter, Teaspoon from the Michael Friedman stable, and Jay Ford, the winning rider.
I just thought, as it turned out, she was set up better. She'd had two trials leading into this race at 1,100 metres, where most of her opposition, including Milanese Girl, who was well-tried, mind you, had only had one soft trial in slow time. I think coming out of the race, although the winner did a really good job holding off, I think the second filly's the one to follow, Milanese Girl. She, like I said, she only had one soft trial leading into that. That was 1,100. She will improve. Whether it's this prep or next prep, I don't know. But look, that third horse did a good job as well. The Ipso Factor, he did it hard up near the lead and battled on well.
Yeah, sorry guys.
Dozing off?
No. I was just watching the.
Yeah, you're concentrating. I could see that.
Yeah. I was right into that. I thought all honours with the winner. She made all the running up front, and Milanese Girl, I think in that barrier trial she was able to lead. They went very slow through the first 200 or 300 metres. She was able to get her own way in front, and I reckon that did two things. One, it gave us the impression that she was going to lead yesterday, and she didn't. And two, as Duff's already alluded to, it probably just didn't quite have a hard enough for that race yesterday.
All right, let's hear from Michael Friedman and Jay Ford.
I was a little bit concerned having the lead in this windy day, but she showed plenty of guts towards the end, for sure.
Good day out for her in these conditions.
Yeah, and she didn't turn her hair. I mean, she's really sensible, as I said, very professional, and I think that was probably the difference today.
And now, how did you come about her?
When I was deciding to come back from Singapore, I rang John Massar and asked his advice whether I go to Sydney or Melbourne, and he said, well, if you come to Sydney, I'll give you a horse. So,
and this is it?
Yeah, and it's nice to repay his loyalty.
All right, now what do you do now?
Probably give her a little break now. She's been up a little while and there's not much of her, so we'll give her a bit of a break and come back in the autumn.
You know, it turned out very professional by the Friedman team today, and she jumped straight on the bunny and she was able to control from the front. She travelled very well and very game to the line. The second horse was challenging us, but she gave a nice kick and held on late.
A lot of trainers are going to be ringing John Massara for advice.
Yes.
Well done, Michael. He's just starting to fire up because he's got the young team, hasn't he?
He's got a young team of horses, and he started off pretty well. It's hard to get a new stable going just with youngsters.
Race number two of the day. Well, originally only two nominations for this race, so nominations extended. I think we got the seven. Five acceptors, one scratching, left with four.
Yeah, that's disappointing when you're racing for $100,000 a race, but it's that time of year, you know, the hangover after the Melbourne Cup. We had 14 meetings in New South Wales on Tuesday, so there's got to be some, you know, effect, and this meeting is usually the one that cops it. In saying that, I think this horse is very good. I know it's only a four-horse race, and the form looks pretty average. He's